Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. We're back. We took a week off last week.
So did Tech Sports, Ben. So did Tech Sports.
Beck, step away from the ledge. Don't jump. Take a deep breath. I had a baby in the off week.
On the real, congratulations.
Thank you.
Just a very beautiful, healthy baby.
Yeah, we're extremely
thankful.
A future
bulldog, no doubt.
Extremely thankful. You know, I got my wife, got my two little girls, just surrounded by women. If you want to talk sports, come to me because I need to talk about it.
You need an outlet for what's going on at the house.
Listen, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm tired of watching Bubble Guppies and Doc McStuffins. I just want to talk sports. And I'm here for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Like you said, the dogs, whether it's on the gridiron, whether it's on the hardwood, seems like the last 2 weeks they've been taking some time off, enjoying Turkey Day a little too much. But, hey, we're here to break it all down. We're here to give you some optimism with no shortage of pessimism as well.
Right.
We're going to tell you how it is. And if you don't like it, you can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. Beck, first thing, I really doubt we're going to hear from Robbie and Shelmet. Probably got the old cell phone taken away after losing his Southern Miss bet. You know he doubled down on Western Kentucky, lost that one as well. So not only are things going rough for the Dawgs, Robbie and Shelmet struggling, we're struggling, but hey, we're here.
It's been many weeks in a row of just speculating what we think is potentially wrong with Tech. And we played 10 games? Tech's played
12.
10, 12 we, no, this year?
Yeah, we're 7 and 5.
Tech's played 12 games, and I feel like...
You've watched only 10, but yeah.
I feel like we've hit the nail on the head, Ben, of what's going on.
We have solved.
We know everything there is to know about Tech's problems.
Absolutely.
And you're going to want to listen to the rest of the show.
And we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you the issues offensively. We're going to tell you the issues defensively. Heck, we're going to throw in some special teams because me and you got into it probably a month ago when I told you that the special teams needed to be a B. And you said, oh, you're a D minus. Well, I'll be honest. I think you're right.
Well, I was going to say the special team has been just so far down the list of the problems we got going on that I haven't even noticed them. But – I think we've touched on all the points this year in some form or fashion, but I feel like we can really bring it all together here.
Well, and I think now's the appropriate time.
Right, and we're smarter because of all this information we've gained over the last few
weeks. And we've had an opportunity. You know, it's no longer a small sample size, not that, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 games was, but 12 games, regular season is complete. Tech goes 7-5 overall, 5-3 in Conference USA play. You know, last time we were on the air, Tech was 7-3, 5-1 in conference before traveling to Hattiesburg. They obviously lose a tight one to Southern Miss. There was a number of things in that game that you could point to that changed the game into Southern Miss's favor. Tech follows that up with a home loss, 30-15 against Western Kentucky. Easily the poorest performance of the year, if you ask me.
Right, and what does that put us at on the year for home? Is it
3-2?
3-2, but Southern doesn't even count. So really 2-2.
Yeah, yeah,
just
you're right.
Pitiful.
But hey, Jamar lit up Southern. Okay, all right. I'm not going down there. All right, I'm not.
Yeah, we've been on the show for what 160 seconds already, and we haven't even talked about Jamar yet.
Yeah, I'm not going.
That's a record for Bleed Tech Blue.
Yeah, I'm not going down that path. But Beck, let's before we dive into things, let's go ahead. Let's thank our sponsors.
Right, Ben, we got Brendan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas. And we
also,
thank you.
Yeah, we do thank you. We couldn't be on the air without you guys. We'd also like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. You can call us. You can text us. Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we'd love to hear what you think. You know, I know Sean and Puffy talked on the sports company, you know, really the state of the Louisiana Tech football program. Where are we at as a program? And that's something that we're really going to dive into tonight. You know, heck, we're going to dive into that. I wasn't planning on going down this route, but we're changing plans because we're very good at going off kilter. In the next segment, we're breaking down the status of this program and where we're headed under Skip Holtz, under Jamar Smith at quarterback, and under Blake Baker's defense. We're breaking it down in the next segment. We're going to decide, is the program trending upward? Is the program trending downward? Have we reached a plateau? What needs to be done to get this back on track and start to see, you know, some better results? Now, if we were here tonight, Beck, and we had seen the same offense, the same mediocre, average, inconsistent, any adjective that you want to throw out there, offense, but Tech was 9-3, it would be a little bit of fool's gold.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And I think that, you know, obviously me, I'm a huge Tech homer, I'll be the first to admit, but I thought this team was going to figure out a way to get to 9 wins, and it was going to be kind of that year where you don't know how they did it, but they figured out a way to do it. But at the end of the day, the deficiencies caught up with them, and you lose the last two games of the regular season.
Right. Honestly, it's not that often that you see, you know, the first couple of games of the year, we talked about college not getting a preseason, obviously. So you kind of figure the first couple of games of the year are like tune-up games and get everything figured out.
Absolutely.
I can't think – I don't follow a lot of teams, Ben. I know that may shock you.
No.
But I don't typically remember teams just like trending downward that hard. And, like, I mean, it might have been mid-season, mid to late season, but, I mean, it was
– and
we were optimistic the beginning of the season. Like, okay, yeah, we're figuring some stuff out. You were still like, oh, Jamar's all-conference, got $1,000 on it.
Beck's going to write a poem.
Beck's going to write a poem
now
about Jamar
because
that was
poem.
Wrong. Yeah. So, I'm just – that's – there's a million reasons why I think Tech fans are just incredibly frustrated.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. And
we don't want to say that you should not be frustrated.
Absolutely. I'm frustrated, and I'm more frustrated than Ben, because Ben can see through some of the things that I can't see through. But I made the comment to you the other day. I don't remember which game it was. Probably our home game. That's the one we went to. What was that? Western Kentucky. And I just made the comment of, like, this is the most boring offense to watch.
And you're right.
And I think if you just take a blanket across the board, super average to below average fan perspective, it's a boring offense to watch.
And
now,
I think that's why
every coach in America is going to say, who freaking cares as long as I'm winning?
No, you're right.
So I don't care if I have the most boring offense in the world. If I'm winning every game, who cares? Tech's used to 50 points a game. Let's just call it what it is. Like, we're used to that.
No, you're right.
But I've been so bored this year, Ben. I've gone to every game. I've stood up against the DAC with you, and I'm so bored.
What would you rather be doing? Playing
checkers?
I mean,
I want to be there. I'm just...
Or do you want to play Connect Four?
Oh, so boring. And
well, hold on. Before you go any further, I think that, like you said, I think that's what the fan base is feeling. And a lot of people like to use the word apathy. And I've also heard the word spoiled thrown out there. And I don't think it's either one of those. I think it's just wanting to see a product that is somewhat entertaining, because in today's world, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, we would go to a football game just to hang out with some friends.
Right.
Now, when you look at, you know, there's a lot of different variables, you know, cost to go to the game, you know, time of the game, what are your kids
got? Yeah, we're paying for tickets now.
Yeah, what are your kids got to do during that day? Now it's more of an entertainment product. That's what people see sports as. Like, we don't.
Well, I think if you're now, this is the argument of staying home or going to the game. And if you're going to the game, you're trusting that you're going to be entertained.
Yes, you're trusting that you're going to say, "Man, that was fun to watch."
Right.
You know, that I loved watching so-and-so hit that 80-yard pass for a touchdown.
Right.
I loved watching Lamar Miller go 97 yards and knock me off in fantasy last night.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll talk about that. You're right, though. But I'm not – and hear me. I'm not saying coaches need to coach for the fans to be entertained.
No, absolutely not. No, that's not their job.
I don't have the attendance numbers for this year compared to last year. But
down by 3,000 a game.
And that's inflated. So probably down by 5 to 7 a game.
Yeah, I would agree.
Honestly, it's been terrible.
I bet there was
big part of that's been the student section.
Yeah, and that's another key question. That's a question that I've discussed with numerous people, and maybe we'll have time to get to it later in the show about, you know, what can you do to get Tech students back engaged. But in the next segment, we're going to talk about the 7-5 season, what it means, where Tech is going, what they need to do to improve, what they need to do to get this fan base engaged. Because, like I said, I don't think it's apathy, and I don't think Tech fans are spoiled, and I don't think Tech has lost its entire fan base. Like, I think they will be back next year, deservedly so. But the product must improve. We must be able to get, I'm not going to say 50 points a game, but if you can get 35 points a game mixed in with a solid defense like Tech has, I think a lot of times, you know, we talked about how good this defense is. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the defense was dominant.
They're very average.
They're an average defense that you expect to see.
So here's the deal. Defense has been better than it usually is this year. Offense has been worse than it usually is. So, of course, we're going to talk about the offense. And the defense is like, yeah, we're better than we were last year.
Well, and that's a good point. And if this defense was dominant, I don't think you would be like, man, this is boring.
No, right.
But when you're watching, say, the Western Kentucky game the other day and it's 3rd and 4 and they run for 4.5. It's 3rd and 3. They get 4. It's 3rd and 2. They complete a 5-yard out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if they're constantly in 3rd and 10 and Jalen Ferguson is coming off the edge, ball's deflected in the air, and Amik picks it and takes it back to the house, like, that's entertaining.
Or even last year, and this is not on Amik. I'm not frustrated with Amik, but last year we just watched him talk smack the whole time.
Exactly.
And he got the defense fired up, and I felt like even the defense had a little more pep in their step. And it wasn't even about Jalen Ferguson last year. This year was about Jalen Ferguson.
Yep.
And Amik's been silent only because I haven't really thrown to him. And I'm fine with that.
Absolutely. And
this is not – they are not there to play the way that I want them to play. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that I wish that Tech played differently than they do.
Absolutely.
And it's not even just about the wins. It's just –
Oh, you're
we
right.
got spoiled with the Trent Taylor and Carlos Henderson days, and
you're right.
It just is what it is.
Yep. So looking elsewhere before we get to our next segment, talking Dunkin' Dogs. Last time we were on, Dunkin' Dogs were getting set for a trip to LSU. Played pretty well at LSU before dropping a 7-point decision in Baton Rouge. Dunkin' Dogs have now lost 3 out of 4. Only win coming against Tougaloo. Yeah, I don't know who Tougaloo is either. Lady Texers have been playing a little bit better. Got road wins recently at Memphis, at Arkansas State, before falling Saturday night at Wichita State. Shifting back to football, recruiting period opened up Sunday night. Tech coaching staff is on the road, hitting the recruiting trail hard. You can join us, bleedtechblue.com. I've caught up with probably 15 recruits in the past couple of days. In-home visits, official visits. Early signing period opens December the 19th. You can join us, bleedtechblue.com. You can join us actually for a yearly subscription right now, $99, and you'll get $99 worth of free Tech gear in return. So essentially you're getting a bunch of free clothes for some legit information. Promo code 99CYBER. Jalen Ferguson accepted an invitation to the Senior Bowl. We've seen, you know, numerous Tech players in recent years go to the Senior Bowl. Ferguson having a phenomenal year, 23.5 tackles for loss, 15 sacks. O'Shea Dugas has accepted an invitation to the East-West Shrine Game. It's probably, I would say, second behind the Senior Bowl as far as all-star games go for college players looking to get into the pro ranks. Beck, I don't know if you saw it today. Rumor is Dogs are headed to Hawaii for the Hawaii Bowl to play Hawaii.
How strong is that rumor?
We'll see.
You got the answer?
We'll see. That's all I can say.
Okay.
That's all I can say. Hawaii 8-5 overall. Nick Rolovich, former Warrior quarterback, is in his third year at Hawaii. Done a pretty good job with that program. We'll see if that's where Tech ends up. We'll know for sure. If not later on this week, we'll know for sure on Sunday afternoon. And before we get to our first break, Beck, this some positive news. Our boy, Jeff Driskel, 17 of 29, 155 yards, and a touchdown against Baker Mayfield, because Baker Mayfield ain't nothing compared to Jeff Driskel. He'll make his first NFL start.
Yeah, old Andy Dalton went down with a little injury, but hey, I think it was coming anyways, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Something
needed to change in Cincinnati.
And I think Jeff's going to do a good job.
First start
against Denver on Sunday. Hopefully he performs well.
Oh, we should have got him on the show. He probably ain't doing nothing this week.
Yeah, he's a great interview. Great interview. You know, I love Jeff Driskel. But anyways, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our first time out when we come back after the break. We're going to break it down. 7-5, 5-3 overall. We're going to talk some Louisiana Tech football, state of the program. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426, or find them on Facebook.
DQ fans, your hanger monster just got hanger managed with the DQ Hungry Up Deal. A single, double, or triple burger with cheese plus fries and a mini blizzard treat starting at just $4. Three deals meant to satisfy any level of hunger. From hungry-ish to hungry to straight up hangry. Meet your new hanger management system today. The Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, Sports Talk 97.7 Studios. John Tabor running the board. Beck, Tech finishes 7-5, 5-3. First on the text line, what's Chuck got for us?
Chuck says Tech needs to worry about beating a 2-9 team and not scoring 50 points a game. Chuck,
you nailed
I'm
it.
With you, bro. I get it.
You nailed okay? it.
But that was just so far down the list of things I'm – well, it's not. It's just so blaringly obvious of things to complain about that I just – I wanted to – I don't know. I wanted Tech to get back.
You're
to
just it. An average fan.
I'm just an average fan, okay? I just – no, I didn't forget. I just am like, well, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't watched any of Western Kentucky this year, but they didn't look that bad.
No, they weren't that bad, but their coach sucks. They went 3-9, and he got fired, so –
he got fired?
Yeah, he got fired. So, another text on the personal text line. Skip shouldn't be fired, but he needs a wake-up call for the offense, and he should be held accountable for the decrease in attendance. And
do you want to get into that right now, or you want to save that?
About the attendance?
About, well.
We can. About the
offense. Hey, it's our show, Ben. Let's just do whatever we want.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about I want to talk people that say Skip needs to go.
Okay. No, let me
you
tell
you. Wait?
No, we can talk about this. Okay, and listen. I'll be the first one to tell you. I love Skip Holtz. I think he's done a phenomenal job for our program, okay? Now, I hear a lot about how, you know, everyone goes to a bowl game. You know, going to a bowl game doesn't mean that much.
Yeah, I say that.
Blah, blah, blah. You do.
I stand by that. Bowl game doesn't mean that much to me. Okay. Outside of, like, the top five.
And I respect that opinion. And my opinion is that if you want to be honest with yourself, and Tabes and I were talking about this before the show, is, you know, outside of a New Year's Six Bowl, going to a bowl game doesn't mean all that much.
Right.
It means a lot to the players. It means a lot to the program. It helps you out financially a little bit, and it also helps your team in getting some additional practice time. But, you know, there's some bowl games that have some name recognition. The Liberty Bowl, you know, like there's some of those, like the Liberty Bowl or, you know, the bowl game in Yankee Stadium, like that are pretty cool, like got some recognition if you see them on TV. But essentially, outside of New Year's Six, all bowl games are the same. They are what you make of them.
Yeah.
And to me, now I get it, there's 39 bowl games, 78 teams go bowling out of like 130 teams. Like, probably too many. Can we agree?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, exactly.
They're probably going to have the Ben Carlisle Bowl in the next 5 years.
Yeah,
they're just looking for bowls to add.
Yeah, but I don't have any money to be a sponsor, so that's not going to happen. But if going to a bowl game was so simple, why did Sonny Dykes not do it every year? Why did Derek Dooley not do it every year? Why did Jack?
Was there that many bowls when they were coaching?
I mean, probably
they add a bowl every year, right?
Probably 30 to, I mean, at the least 30.
I see where you're going with this. Go ahead.
So
get there.
So my thing is this: like, yeah, like going to a bowl game, you might not think it's the greatest thing in the world. Neither do I. But in the eyes of recruits, it's tremendously important.
Right, I do get that.
So, you know, not to say let's throw some shade at UTSA. Okay. Coach Holtz walks into a house and he says, hey, man, like, we really want you to come here. We want you to be a great player. We really see you have a future in the NFL. You'll be a starter here. You'll be a great defensive tackle for us. By the way, we've also won at least seven games for the last 5 years, and we've gone to five consecutive bowl games. Well, then on the opposite side, you have Frank Wilson from UTSA come in. He's like, man, I know we're 3-9. I know we've only been to one bowl game in the last 5 years. But I really think you can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no,
you don't see it. Like,
right.
as a recruit, you see this with Tech. So that's, like, I think that's a positive. Now, you look at, you know, Holtz's tenure at Tech, 4-8 in his first year, okay? Call me crazy. I blame it on Sonny Dykes. He screwed the program, okay?
The JUCO deal.
Yeah, he brought in all these players for him to make one big run. His one big run equaled 9-3. Okay. Well, Holtz has won 9 games 3 years.
Number one offense in the nation, though.
Okay, Holtz had the number one offense in the nation in 2016, so shut up. So, 4-8 is in 2013. All right, you want to say it sucks? That's fine, it sucks. 9-5 in 2014, played for a conference championship. 9-4 in 2015. 9-5 in 2016, played for a conference championship. Now, granted, both those years we didn't win them.
Right.
Last year, 7-6, 6-6 in the regular season. This year, 7-5. Now, if you want to say the last 2 years that the program has fallen off to some degree, fair enough. I think we can both agree.
Right.
I think we can both say that the program's down. I think we can both say that the quarterback play hasn't been as good
mm-hmm.
as we're accustomed to. And that's the next point I want to make. A lot of people talk about all these great quarterbacks at Louisiana Tech. Okay. Tim Rattay. He played under Gary Croton. Luke McCown played under Jack Bignell. What great quarterback played under Derek Dooley? Ross Jenkins? I don't know. What great quarterback played under Sonny Dykes? Colby Cameron. Okay, give Dykes some credit for Colby Cameron. Cody Sokol in 2014 transferred in, played very well. 2015, Jeff Driscoll transferred in, played very well. 2016, Ryan Higgins. Are we going to give Holt some credit for Ryan Higgins?
Yeah.
Because he developed him over his 4 years. Yeah, he didn't sign him, but he developed him. So when we say that we're used to great quarterback play, you know, two of our quarterbacks, Sokol and Driscoll, are transfers. We didn't develop those guys. So then you got Rattay, you got McCown, Cameron, and Higgins. Since 1997.
I was going to say, and Terry Bradshaw, but go ahead.
Yeah, back in 1970. So since 1997, Tech has developed four above-average college quarterbacks. Rattay, McCown went on to play in the NFL. Cameron and Higgins did not. Sokol did not. Driscoll, we mentioned in the first segment, he's got a chance to start. So to say that Tech is a quarterback powerhouse that's used to putting up insane amount of points, probably not fair. Dooley did not put up a lot of points. Dykes did not put up a lot of points in his first 2 years. Now, has the offense taken a step back in 2017 and 2018? Yes, they have. Absolutely. Now, let me tell you this. So we talk about, you know, the issues offensively this season. Let's talk about this year in particular, 7-5 overall. And I sent this to you today. So as a quarterback, it's only right if you catch most of the flag.
Right.
Because if you win the Super Bowl, what do we talk about? Tom Brady has 5 rings. Like, you get the credit for that. Well, you can, you know, you got to take the blame when the blame comes from you. But let me just tell you some of these numbers right here, okay? The wide receivers are second in the nation with 40 drops. And I could go off on you because you say drops are part of football, which I agree with, but second in the nation, not part of football. Catch the football. Offensive line has allowed 30 sacks. I went back and looked at it. So 30 sacks in 12 games. What's that? Average of 2.5 a game?
Sure.
Okay. So I took 2 sacks or less plus 3 sacks or above. You look at Jamar's sack his numbers when he was sacked twice or less. 272 yards a game, 10 touchdowns, 4 picks. Pretty solid, huh?
Yeah.
That even includes the 98-yard effort against Mississippi State.
Okay.
So that really brought down the numbers. When he was sacked 3 or more times in a game, he only threw for 194 yards a game, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So while the quarterback gets a lot of the blame, this offense has more issues to it than just the quarterback. There's issues at receiver. There's issues on the offensive line. There's issues at quarterback. Heck, there's issues at running back. We don't know who's going to be back there. Is Dancy going to be back there? Is he healthy? Is Tucker healthy? Is Cam McKnight healthy? So I think, in total, the entire offense deserves a tremendous amount of blame. Now, do you go in and fire the entire offensive staff? I don't think that's the answer. Should changes be made on the offensive staff?
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. You can make changes offensively. So I think, for me, the big issue offensively is it's across the board. Now, can Jamar be better? Does a great quarterback make an average offense look better? Absolutely. But we know Jamar's not a great quarterback. So that makes everyone else have to execute right at a higher level.
Right.
So defensively. You got something to add?
No, go ahead.
Okay, defensively. Blake Baker, 4th year as defensive coordinator, has done a pretty good job. Jalen Ferguson, 23.5 tackles for loss, 15 sacks, nearing Terrell Suggs' all-time record. You look at the linebacker play, you know, I think Colin Scott's had a pretty good year. You know, 83 tackles. I think he's got 8 tackles for loss. Davon Washington's had a solid year. James Jackson out of Hainesville. Amik and Snead on the outside. They've been playing really well. You know, I really like what Amik and Snead do together and how they feed off of one another. And I brought this up to you. Before the season, I said that L'Jarius Snead was every bit as good as Amik Roberts, was called crazy.
Yeah.
Snead got picked on at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he got better, though.
Let's take a look at the end of the year. Quarterbacks are completing 57% of their throws towards Snead, 503 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 picks, a 70 QB rating. When targeting Amik, 59%, 488 yards, so 15 yards less. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, 74 QB rating. Like, we're very good at corner.
Right.
Like, both of those guys are playing really well.
Right.
The safeties, you know, Darryl Lewis, Jordan Baldwin, Daniel Lewis, the grad transfer out of Hawaii, they've been all right. But my thing about this defense is they're good. They're not great. They're not good enough to make up for the deficiencies on the offense.
Right.
But I feel like Holtz felt like he had to protect his defense in a way. Now, we can argue till we're blue in the face, is that the right call or is it not? But
how is he? What do you mean by protecting defenses?
You know, not be as aggressive from your own 10 because you don't want to turn it over, because you know if you get a punt
right.
off
okay.
to the 50, that your defense has a better chance of stop. You know what I'm saying?
Right, I got you.
So, now, is that right or wrong? I'm not sure. Tech was 4-1 in one score game, so I think there. You know, it's fair to say, you know, that.
A lot different than last year.
Yeah, a lot different. So, I think it's fair to say that that theory has worked out pretty well. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take our next time out. We're going to come back. We're going to finish this discussion before we get into a little bit of Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, the two losses of the final two regular season games of the year. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston, and Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Get on the Express at Fairway Carts. The new Easy Go Express electric 4x4 is now in stock, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The Easy Go Express Electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Beck's cracking up at the personal text line. We're breaking it down. Tech 7-5, 5-3 overall. Where is this program headed? I think it's a fair question to ask. So, Beck, let me ask you. I got a couple questions for you.
Hit me, Ben.
And you told me during the break that you have plenty to say about this topic.
I got stuff to say. You had your moment.
You have plenty to say about this topic. So, 7-5. The dog's trending upward, the dog's trending downward, or are we stuck in neutral?
Ben, I actually don't even have a definitive answer for you. The obvious answer is trending downward. Because of the records the last few
years. I
think
that's the easy answer.
That's the easy answer. But I don't know if I'm sold on that. I don't know how much weight to put on, like, the Trent Taylors and the Carlos. And, like, are those once-in-a-decade guys at Tech?
Are those normal
players? Are those guys that we should be like, Skip, you got to get those guys in?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fair question. Well, you know, and you look at a guy like Adrian Hardy.
I say.
Is he another one of those?
Right.
He's
been awesome.
He might be.
He might be. And he's only a sophomore, Ben. You told me that this week. I didn't even realize that. We got two more years.
Yeah. You know, he's second in the nation in drops, but he's been playing well.
Well, I'll talk about that, too, if you want. You want me to go ahead?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't played football, Ben. I played 1 year in sixth grade, and I was the center, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't catch very many balls.
How many pancakes you have?
Yeah, bro, a lot. I was just like 6'3" in sixth grade. So.
Yeah.
Listen, so I What I have heard, and I can't give you my sources, so this is really bad reporting.
No, you just say sources say.
Jamar is a baseball player.
Yeah.
Jamar does not throw the most catchable ball in football. Now, again, I've never really played – I'm not going to say it. I've never played football. But I don't know how much weight you put on a ball being that catchable. We know Tech runs those five-yard slant routes, and I know Jamar throws it about 700 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's got a laser rocket arm. You got guys – John Elway, Ben, you watched him when you were two. He throws a rocket, okay?
Yeah.
Joe Montana, he's got a little more touch, BC. He just floats it in there. Now,
Joe Montana could sling it around the yard a little bit.
He could, but he had a little more touch. If you watch the film. Watch the film, Ben.
Yeah.
Watch the film. I'm just saying there's a little bit of Tech's not going to get your 4- and 5-star receivers. Okay?
No, don't even give
listen,
me that crap.
Listen,
I'm
just telling
you. If
you
can't catch the football, go play defensive back.
No, I'm not making excuses. I'm really not. Oh, here we go. We got a call. I've obviously stirred some people up.
No, if you can't catch the football.
I'm not saying don't catch the football. I'm telling you right now, I don't know, but I also wonder how much Jamar not throwing the most catchable ball, which I've heard, has a play. Anyways, we'll move on.
No, and I got a good question for you. Have you ever put on a receiver's gloves?
Yes. They
Sticky.
It's amazing that it's even legal.
Okay.
But stick doesn't matter if it's coming 600 miles an hour.
No, it does.
It doesn't.
No,
tell you, it's a solid rock.
That's like saying you can't catch a baseball with a glove.
Ben, I'm just saying.
Anyway.
This is a lame excuse. I'm just putting it out
there. He got the cell phone activated. He's live and ready to roll. Robbie and Chalmette, what you got for us tonight, Robbie?
Hey, what are you saying? This is Robbie and Chalmette. Chalmette, what's up, boy?
We're just crying, Robbie. We're just crying is what we're doing.
Oh, man. We over that, man. We too bad. Ain't nobody worried about that, man. We going to get on back on our horse, man, and get back in the saddle. The Skipper and Timmy, they're going to be ready to roll for bowl game. Everybody knew this wasn't going to be our year to go, 10-2 or 9-3. We knew that. But, you know, we shouldn't have lost West Kentucky like that, man. That's pitiful, man. You know, breakfast game has something to do with it. But, you know, I think, you know, one day we're going to need to look at Timmy. Maybe he's being an OC. But, you know, I ain't no coach. I don't get paid like Skipper to coach football. I get paid to catch reds and plus ducks. That's what I do.
Did you lose some money this week,
Robbie? Well, you know, yeah, we may have lost a little bit on the dog, on the breakfast game, but that's all right because I made it up over the weekend on the NFL.
I was going to ask if you took the Aggies over the Tigers.
No, I took the Tigers plus 2.5, and they covered.
Oh, you're the man,
like
Robbie.
All right, who that nation rule?
Robbie and Chalmette never disappoints.
Hey,
he's catching some reds, BC.
Does he know this is a Louisiana Tech?
Yeah, you know what?
Signing out with a hoodat.
He could call and talk about flowers, and I'd listen to him, BC.
Good stuff by
Robbie. Okay, keep going with the question.
Okay, but anyways, receivers have stick 'em on their hands.
Okay, I get it. That's pitiful. Second in the nation.
No, and I'm not saying you should not drop the football. It happens. But all the catchable football stuff, like,
no, I just even if it accounts for 10%,
okay.
Like maybe they're or not 10%. What are they? You said 40 drops.
Yeah.
Maybe they have 30 drops.
No, say it takes you to 20.
Right. You know, an
average would probably be 20.
We know Jamar throws hard.
Yeah. So does Patrick Mahomes.
He doesn't throw.
And let me tell you something. The cheetah, Tyreek Hill, he catches it.
Yeah. Well, we can get into the argument of NFL caliber receivers.
You're right.
Or Louisiana Tech caliber receivers.
You're right.
Anyways, move on. Keep going.
Okay. So. You look at Tech, 7-5 this year. Skip Holtz, is he the man to lead this program with where we are right now?
Yes, but things have got to change. This is the level of – I have like a level of severity scale.
Yeah, let's hear it. What do you have?
I think Tech's slightly trending downward, but I don't. It's not like a jump the ship with Skip or get a new skipper. It's not even like that, BC.
Yeah,
I think it's like make some changes in the offensive staff. And I'm not going to go name names, Something's got to change. I don't know. And let's talk about leadership a little bit, Ben. At the beginning of the season when seniors or captains came out, I asked you, I said, man, Jamar's a junior. I don't like that he's not a captain. And you said,
it's not a concern.
Not a concern.
It's a concern.
I ain't worried about
it.
It's
a concern.
It's a concern, Ben. He's a junior. If he was a leader, they would have elected him a leader. Now, okay, I personally know some football players, okay, and they will not say a negative thing about their teammates, and I'm proud of them. I don't bait them into that, but I do ask questions, and they won't say anything negative. But what they're not doing is talking about how Jamar's a leader.
And I'll say this too, and we talked about this today. When you talk about leadership, like, do you have to have a quarterback that's a leader? You and I talked about that.
Right.
I don't think you have to have a quarterback that's a vocal leader, but you have to have a quarterback that, like we talked about at the beginning, you have to be willing to take all the shots that, you know, fans give you, whether you see it on Twitter, even if one of your teammates in the game takes a shot at you, you have to be willing to say, all right, like, that's fine. Like, yeah. I'll get you the ball, or you'll make the play. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to at least be even keeled.
Yeah, you don't have to be vocal to be a leader.
And I think that's our issue.
Right, right. And I think, you know, oh, I hate this take, but the body language deal.
No, that's a fair take.
It's pitiful. I mean, it is pitiful. Just watch. I mean, granted, the last game was pitiful all around.
Yeah.
But that's what I don't see from certain people I feel like should be leading on the Tech team. So to say, like, you Skip, I think he can be the guy, but there's got to be some culture change. And I don't know enough about sports or football teams to know if that can be done easily with a new staff change, with some different staff changes. Something's got to give. You got to open up some competition. I don't know how much pressure Jamar's felt from the quarterback position. Honestly, if you want me to be real candid with you, I think Skip calling Jamar a rock star at the beginning of the year hurt this
season
more.
That was when he was a freshman, but yeah.
I think that's hurt this program or this last 2 years more than anything, because Tech fans have had such a high expectation, and last year was, okay, he's growing, whatever. Next year's going to be awesome. It's the same thing this year, except we won the one-point games, which that's coaching. Jamar didn't do terrible. He didn't lose us all these games, but I think it's to sum up your answer to some of your question. I think it's so close. Like, Tech is close to trending upward, and it's like, yeah, we made up some of those games we lost last year, the 1 point games, and that's great. So maybe in that sense we're trending upward, but now it's like there's got to be a little culture, locker room, leadership change. The team does not seem together. Did you notice that?
I really didn't know you were gonna say the thing about that you know some players on the team. Obviously, you know players on the team. I don't.
Right.
Okay? I don't know anyone on the team.
Like, they won't say a bad thing about anybody.
And I didn't know you were going to say that. And a lot of people in our audience know that I played baseball at Tech. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't trade those 4 years for anything in my life. Like, I learned a tremendous amount. I got to be a part of some pretty good baseball teams at Tech. We didn't win a conference championship. We didn't go to a regional, but it was fun. But I can tell you, I've been a part of a toxic locker room that, whereas everyone was friends, but when it came to getting on the field and playing the game, I'm not going to say they were pulling against one another, but they didn't mind seeing someone do bad so that they might get their chance to do better. Now, if you want to be a great basketball team, football team, baseball team, heck, soccer team, like, you have to truly believe in your head that whoever is out there is going to make the play that propels your team to win. No matter how minor of a play, no matter if it's second and one with 14 minutes left to go in the first quarter. And we're not saying that there's issues in this locker room.
Yeah, we don't know. Basically, this is how far we're going. We don't know that. We're not saying there is issues, but we're saying we're not seeing that there's not.
Yeah.
Does
we're
that
not,
make sense?
Yeah, like, we're not seeing the leadership on the sideline of,
you can tell in the demeanor and the answers that you get in the, you know, sideline demeanor, and then when I'm talking to these guys, like I said, they won't say anything bad, and they just give the political answers, but they're not like fighting to talk about how this team is close.
Yeah,
or,
and it's like you said today, like Amik Robertson, he's a guy that you do, I do, Taves does, and probably 90% of Tech's fan base sees as a leader, sees as a great football player. Heck, maybe 90% of that football team sees him as a leader.
Yeah.
And you said it today. What if you know, you're trailing 14-0 against Western Kentucky. This is a random example. And he goes over to the offense like, hey, like, let's go. Like, yeah. Like, we got this. Like we're fine. And, like, that might be happening. Like, we're not on the sideline. Right. But, like, it's something as small as, hey, the defense has our back. Let's get their back because we know we're good enough. I don't think anybody's questioning the talent of this roster.
Right.
So I think the big thing is, like you said, we're not saying that there's issues in the locker room, but these guys got to come together. This program has to come together. The culture has to be, you know, Holtz has talked about how together they were, how nothing really bothered them. But it seemed to us on the outside who don't have a real grasp of what's going on inside the locker room, because like it or not, inside the locker room, you can win or lose a game in the locker room.
And this is being the Tech loss to Southern Miss, and we were afraid of this with this Western Kentucky game.
Yeah.
Because they honestly, and I hate this phrase, but they literally had nothing to play for. Whether they won Western Kentucky or lost, their bowl game is not going to change.
Yep.
And if it did, it's just we're going to a different city. Like, who cares? We're not getting any more views because we're a 7-win or an 8-win team over a 7-win team.
And that's what you saw on Saturday.
That's what we saw on Saturday. It was pathetic.
And you have to be able to have enough leadership and mental fortitude in that locker room to say, this isn't happening on our watch.
Yeah, that's what shows me that the locker room is weak, because they came out like that.
And I think that, you know, we're not harping on Jamar, but I think when you go back and, like, you look at 2014 with a Cody Sokol type player, Cody Sokol wasn't the most talented quarterback. He didn't have big arm strength. He wasn't 6'4" like a Jeff Driskel was. But I'll tell you what, when Cody Sokol hit the ground, his teammates knew he was getting back up.
Right.
And he knew, and he was going to tell him, I'm about to make the throw the next time if he did throw a pick. You remember the Marshall championship game? Dude had one arm.
Yeah.
And he wasn't coming off the football field. But he had the respect of his teammates. And like I said, you don't have to have the respect of your teammates vocally, but you have to be tough as nails, and your team has to know that, hey, he's got my back no matter how bad I screw up. And it goes from 1 to 85.
Yeah, you're
and
exactly
that's cliche
right.
to say.
No,
but
you're right.
Like, if you want to be a championship football team, Jalen Ferguson has to work as hard as the 85th scholarship guy who is not going to play on a Saturday, and he's only going to be preparing the team on scout team.
Yep, and how many teams do you see that are so under-talented but are able to play it at such a higher
UAB
level?
UAB this year.
They played, and they had some fire. And I'll say this about you getting a hit, and this is my one thing. Weston Elliott took a shot.
He's good.
No, I'm saying I'm saying he took a shot to the jaw, and that dude got up faster than I could blink.
You're right. Did you see it?
I did see it. I was actually watching on my phone as I was leaving.
Really? Interesting. Interesting. Well, let's go ahead, take a timeout. When we come back, who knows what we're going to talk about. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
DQ fans, your hanger monster just got hanger managed with the DQ Hungry Up Deal. A single, double, or triple burger with cheese plus fries and a mini blizzard treat starting at just $4. Three deals meant to satisfy any level of hunger. From hungry-ish to hungry to straight up hangry. Meet your new hanger management system today. The Hungry Up Deal. Only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. Beck Haynes with me in studio. Breaking it down, Louisiana Tech 7-5, 5-3 in Conference USA play. You know, we've been talking throughout the show, Beck, and we have a text on the text line from Joey and Bozier. Joey said, Skip should definitely stay on as head coach going into next year. However, changes do need to occur to improve from the last two seasons. I feel like the team could go one extreme or the other, which really great or really bad, and I haven't a clue of which way it'll go. And I think that's a really good point. Yeah. Now, we've established today that there needs to be changes, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Something has to change amongst the whole team. There has to be a culture change as well. But here's another thing I have. When you talk about the financial aspect of sport, of collegiate athletics, and, you know, we hear all the time that Conference USA is a terrible conference. You know, any head coach could win 6 or 7 games, and I agree with all that. Like, I came on here, you know, probably 4 weeks into the season, I said Conference USA is the worst conference in the FBS. And my question is, what is the answer to getting out of Conference USA if you don't want to be in the worst conference? Well, the answer is money, okay? And money equals power, okay? And let me tell you this. Looking at Old Dominion, and we talk a lot about a student fee, okay? Old Dominion, okay, they have a 24,000 enrollment, 24,000 students, whether it's on campus or off campus. So if you're on campus, you pay an athletics fee of $47.05 per credit hour.
Okay.
Per credit hour. If you're an off-campus student, you pay $36.98 per credit hour. So if you're taking 12 hours on campus, times that by $47.05, and that's how much you're paying for that semester. Now, if you average 30 hours a year, okay, they're generating $30 million a year alone. Tech's budget doesn't even equal $30
million. Yeah, that's a lot.
They're equaling that off student fees. Now, granted, Tech's probably 12, 13,000 enrollment. But I think one big key is Tech has to get more money into this program. Now, how do you do it? I don't know. Do you have to have an exciting product on the field? Do you have to have an – yes, that's part of it. If you want people to give money, I agree. But you have to – and a lot of people want to say, well, we've put $40 million into the football stadium. Listen, I love the DAC and I love the press box, but all that did was get our stadium to a Division I caliber.
Like, way overdue.
Yeah, like that was 25 years overdue. Like plenty of teams have that. You know, they – aren't looking to build a new press box. Like, that's just a luxury to them. Tech had to do that.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do next? Like, we're not getting into all that. Like, indoor practice facility. You know, we saw the thing. Tech's recruiting budget. Take a guess what Tech's recruiting budget is.
I don't even know. I don't even know what's normal.
$88,000 a year. Now, I don't know what's normal, but that's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you think about this. Try flying a kid from Dallas to say Shreveport,
about $1,000
or month, yeah, that's $1,000
after he's here for the whole weekend for sure.
Yeah, yep. Okay, plus his parents.
Yep.
Okay, so that's easy $1,000. Okay, so say you got, I don't know how many kids are going to take official visits. Let's say 25. You're probably more. You signed 25, so probably 35, 40. Well, there's half your budget right there.
Yeah, and that's not even travel for coaches or
no,
anything.
No, and that ain't, like, a coach ain't driven off campus yet. So like there, you have to influx more money if we want to get to that goal that we talk about of 10-2 plus a conference championship.
Yeah, one of the points we talked
about. And I'm not saying it can't happen right now, but if you want to get to where that's realistic year in and year out, like, we got to figure out a way to get financially more enhanced.
Right, and this isn't my thought, so I'm not taking credit for this, but I'm not going to say who it is. But thinking about Tech's 10th out of 13th in the conference and budget, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we complain year after year about being having a game on Thanksgiving break.
This is a very good point you're about to make.
So this hadn't occurred to me. My first thought was, come on, Tommy.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Yep.
Quit being so soft. You know what the real problem is? Tommy's going to the commissioner of the conference and saying, hey, we want out of this game. And he's like, well, where's the money, Tech? Where's the revenue, Tech?
Well, Marshall's at the top.
Right. They're bringing in five times more money. I don't know the numbers. Two times more money than you are. Why would I not?
Yeah.
Tech ain't getting that.
That's
just money talks, and that's just the way it is.
Money is power.
It's not illegal. It's not nothing. That's the way it is. That's why Tech is playing some bad road games and playing on Thanksgiving.
That's why Tech has a home game. Okay, say Tech has a home game in October against Rice, okay? Well, you're realistic, 10,000 fans, okay? Well, you put that same Marshall home game in October, they're getting 32,000.
Right.
Okay, so they're bringing in way more money than you are.
Yep.
So when it comes to Thanksgiving, they know when they're going to have their best crowds. Tech's plus or minus for Thanksgiving is not that much. Like, you could have been playing for a conference championship Saturday afternoon, and I'm not convinced there would have been 15,000.
No, there wouldn't have been.
And it's sad, and it's how it is. And one more point. Or go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was listening to a radio show the other day, and they were talking about, like, Saban. Saban won't play any – well, I forget what the analogy was. Or it's not an analogy. It's a fact. But he won't play any non-conference games, like, away or something like that. Like, he doesn't leave, you know?
And yeah.
Basically, it's like they were talking about, like, he's a great coach, but he's really got the set of tools he needs to, like,
he has everything he needs.
Yeah, but he's at the very top. Yeah. Like, he's the one making those calls.
Yeah, he doesn't get any better.
And you can knock him for that as far as, like, oh, he's not that great because he's got all this stuff. It's like, well, he's got the program to where it is, and so he has some luxuries that other schools don't have.
Yep.
Tech is at the bottom of Conference USA. Other schools have luxuries that Tech doesn't have because of revenue.
Yep.
And
okay, and one more point I want to make before we get to our break. Nathan Ruppel, Go Tech, Please Don't Die. Pretty funny Tech blog. He's going to join us in the next segment. He was in Delaware for the Delaware Invitational that the Duncan Dogs played. We're going to talk with him, a little Tech football, a little Duncan Dog basketball in the next segment. But we mentioned briefly earlier about the student support. And I talked earlier about the athletics fee and getting it passed. And I had it mentioned to me, and I'm not going to take credit for the idea. But how do you get students engaged? Well, how about this? When we go to the students or whoever goes to the students about an athletics fee idea, say, hey, listen up, Mr. Tech students, Miss Tech students. With this athletic fee, every year we're going to put, I don't know, 80,000-90,000 into throwing you concerts immediately following a game.
Right.
Kids eat it up. Like it's not that expensive to get a quality concert five or six times a year.
Tech cannot offer the Tech students the game day atmosphere that other big schools can. So this is it's like a commuter game. It's, you know how we call Tech a commuter school, whatever people say that. It's a commuter game. They can leave their apartment and be in the stadium in 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's so easy for them to come and go. You're not providing them anything. There's not a great tailgate. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I know. I get it.
So you're saying we got to put some money into making this an experience for the kids to get them to stay longer.
Yeah, you have to provide them an incentive to come to the game. And, like, it sucks. When we were in college, you didn't have to provide it. Like, the student section was packed.
Oh, Quentin Patton was an incentive to go to the game
exactly.
when I was in college.
Exactly. But time has shifted over the last 10 years. You know, the ways kids think has shifted over the last 10 years. So
I haven't been following, but the Tech students' side this year was just
weak.
Awful.
Yeah,
it was so
terrible.
Bad.
And so, like, you have to do different – like the light show that they did before the – I believe it was the Rice game. Like,
I got you jacked up.
That was awesome. More, just be more and more creative. Like, I get tired of – I know you love a blizzard after the game, but God dang, I get so tired of watching the blizzard and the cone race. Like, let's let the blizzard and the cone do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's don't do a straight 40-yard dash. Let's do something – where they, like, do sumo wrestling.
I get so tired of that.
Like,
so
how
funny
would it be to watch the blizzard knock over a cone?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, the year the cone deflated was awesome. Last year.
That was awesome. Pretty funny. So, anyways, we've broke it down for a solid hour. We haven't talked anything about any game, but it's been
– they don't want to hear about the game.
No, they want to hear us give our expertise, and that's what we did. Anyway, Skip Holtz is the man for the job. There needs to be some changes offensively. There needs to be some changes financially. But overall, the program's in a pretty good spot, but you have to continue plugging and going forward if you want to continue to make your mark, especially nationally, not only in Conference USA play. So we come back from the break. We'll talk with Nathan Ruppel. Go Tech, please don't die. You're listening. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Fall brings all kinds of fun activities to the area, and the best way to enjoy them is with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts. Whether it's tailgating at your favorite high school or college game, driving around the neighborhood with the family, or just spending time in good fall weather, an EasyGo multi-passenger vehicle is perfect. Fairway Carts has a great selection now, with new 2019 models coming in. So visit the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camp, bike, paddle, and hike our state parks last year, as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds at Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Sponsored by Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Let's go ahead. Let's get to the Fairway Carts Hotline, joined by Nathan Ruppel. Nathan, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing well. How are y'all?
Oh, pretty good, Nathan. I know, you know, you and a couple of your friends run a pretty creative, fun Louisiana Tech blog called Go Tech, Please Don't Die. If you haven't heard of it, kind of give our listeners, before we get into some football and basketball stuff, of kind of what y'all do, where the idea came from, and really how much fun it is doing what y'all do on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely. So it started out with a few of us from band together, the Louisiana Tech band, and we all just like talking about football. So we created a little group chat on Facebook Messenger just to talk about sports and stuff. And then after a while, there was a bit of a push on Twitter, just kind of like have these novelty Twitter accounts. And so we just made one for our little group that we called Go Tech, Please Don't Die. And so we just started tweeting things that we found funny or things about tech. And then about a year and a half ago, I decided that I just wanted to create a blog to do some writing for it. And so we set that up and all of us kind of contribute to it. But the idea is that sports are fun and can be funny sometimes. And sometimes people are a little too serious about things. So we like to post fun effects, but also like provide meaningful content too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, y'all do a great job, obviously. Nathan and your buddy Evan, y'all have both written for Bleed Tech Blue throughout the year, done a great job, and I'm certainly appreciative of that. And, you know, looking at this Louisiana Tech football season, it's been one that I don't know if you can call it up and down. I think the better word would be that it's just been kind of meh, you know, throughout the year. Regular season wraps up 7-5 overall, 5-3 in conference. You lose the final two conference games of the year to Southern Miss and Western Kentucky. Overall, what were some of your key takeaways? I know you don't really have the opportunity to get to a lot of games. So from a fan, from an outside perspective, what were your takeaways from the season this year?
Yeah, I think meh is a very good way to put this season. The expectations were very high. We kind of expected to coast through. We had Jamar back, and yeah, he didn't look great last year, but he was going to be better this year. We thought we had all the puzzle pieces in the right place and that we were going to just kind of plow through everything and get to the conference championship. And of course, that didn't happen. UAB just found a way to get good. And we've come to a place where near the end of the season, it just felt like who cares anymore. I know with the Southern Miss game, that was a rivalry game, but when we got to Western Kentucky, it was like difficult to sit through that game, especially when you kind of know what's about to happen. It was pretty evident pretty early on, like, okay, yeah, this is not going to end well.
And you know, you talk about that Southern Miss rivalry game, and I didn't plan on going down this route, but I'm glad you said that. Do you, like me personally, I get the impression that Southern Miss is always way more up for that game than Tech is. Do you ever get that, you know, perception from how you look at it? You know, from a player's perspective. I know the fans think it's a big deal, but I just don't ever get that feeling that the Tech players are as jacked up for it as the Southern Miss guys are.
Yeah, and I'm from South Louisiana. I'm from Slide Hill, so I knew a bunch of people that went to Southern Miss. So for me, that game may be a little more meaningful than this for a lot of people from the North Louisiana side of it. But yeah, it feels, when I was in, I went to the game in Hattiesburg a couple years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, and they were all gung-ho about it. They were very like, this is a rivalry game. And the Tech people I talked to just kind of seem, it has a name. They feel the same way they feel about Western Kentucky, where, yeah, we played it a few times, but people keep calling it a rivalry when it's really not. I disagree with those people, but...
Yeah, I certainly understand your point. So, you know, we brought you on. I know you had the opportunity to travel up to Delaware this past weekend to watch the Duncan Dogs take on both UNC Greensboro and Delaware. Looking at that first game the first night, obviously Greensboro is a really good program. We're in the NCAA tournament a year ago. I think they lost by 4 to Gonzaga in the first round of the tournament. What were some of your key takeaways? I know Tech ended up losing 80-73. Probably your number one point is Tech got hammered on the glass. But what were some of your takeaways in that game?
Yeah, so if you watch the Delaware game the second night, the first game against Greensboro kind of had that same feel, where Greensboro was constantly in the lead, but Tech was always close, never could finish and get ahead. And, yeah, the rebounding was a big thing. In every game Tech had played up until that point, Tech had out-rebounded their opponent. The only time they didn't out-rebound their opponent by 10 was against LSU, the one loss going into that game. So that was something where it was a huge swing for Greensboro that allowed them to really take control of the game. I talked to Conkle a little bit after the game, Coach Conkle, and he mentioned the fact that that was one of the first things he wanted to talk about was the fact that we were out-rebounded. He mentioned that it's tough to out-rebound when we also won the turnover battle, but we gave up 9 offensive rebounds, and that's something he deemed unacceptable.
And, you know, looking to the second night against Delaware last night, and I had the opportunity to watch the game, and like you said, you know, it felt like Delaware was in the lead for most of the night. You know, Tech was right there on their heels, but never could just really get over that hump and put away the Blue Hens.
Yeah, that's kind of the way the whole game went. Tech had finally reached a point where I think they had taken a lead by 1 late in the game, and there was that technical foul called on Durugi. I was sitting sideline at that game and wasn't looking at the time and was very confused about what happened. I know on the radio they mentioned the fact that there was some foul language involved. But apparently what had happened was a Blue Hen player pushed Tech player, a Tech player responded, and they said the response warranted the technical foul, but the initial push did not, which kind of mellowed the whole atmosphere for that Tech side of the arena.
And, you know, obviously, this road trip for Tech wasn't successful. You know, you go on the road, you lose two games, but you got some experience playing a Saturday, Monday, you know, two games in 3 days, similar to conference play. Tech didn't play good defensively. For me, that's my number one key with this team. If they don't play hard on the defensive end, they're not going to have a whole lot of success. Well, after you've seen them now for two games, live and in person, what are some things that you're looking to see for the remainder of the year, and what are some things that they need to do to be successful, especially as they get into conference play?
Yeah, you hit on a key point with the defense. And the post-game interview the other night, after the Delaware game, Ponkel said, we just didn't pack our defense on this trip. And that's something Tech's really going to need down the line. He said that we gained a lot of experience having these two games back-to-back with only one night in between, similar to how conference play is. Derek Jean finally has shown up this year against Delaware. Previously, he had been not all that active. He finally actually kind of found his role last night. But really, it's going to come down to Bracey like it did last year. Bracey is the kind of player that can make or break a game for you. And when he's hot, Tech is hard to beat.
I certainly agree with you. Good stuff tonight, Nathan. We certainly appreciate you joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. How can our listeners follow you and your blog online?
Yeah, so we're on Twitter. Go Tech, please don't die. The please is spelled PLS and the don't is spelled DNT because Twitter has character limits. It may be easier to find us at our website, GTPBD for Go Tech, please don't die, .dog instead of .com.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight, Nathan.
Thank you.
Really good stuff. And, you know, Beck, have you ever had the chance to read Go Tech, Please Don't Die's blog?
I'm just a follower on the old Twitterverse.
It's pretty fun.
It's pretty good. I can, if you can be ready to read it in a lighter light, then
yeah,
it's good for you.
Well, it is good for you, and it puts some humor into sports, and that's like you said. And you talk about this Louisiana Tech basketball team, and, you know, obviously you start out 4-1 overall. Your only loss is to LSU, and you're feeling pretty good about it.
Thought
this.
You might go undefeated the rest of the season, BC. You thought you might.
Yeah, you know, that's what some
what
of
did
the,
that. What did that?
Some of the analytics.
Yeah, they said
saying.
We were going to go like 29-0 or something.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to see early on, but not happening. But, you know, you lose two games on the road. Greensboro is a good program. I don't think that was surprising that Tech lost. I was really disappointed in the performance against Delaware. And like Nathan said, you talk about Day-Day Bracey. He's so much fun to watch, but he's not healthy right now. I know the coaching staff is not trying to reel him back, but they're trying to get him to see where to pick and choose his spots as to when to attack the basket and to go in amongst the trees.
Otherwise, he's going to get hurt every
exactly.
5 minutes.
No, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, has to be smart. But, you know, this team shooting only 32% from three, not going to cut it. Out-rebounding their opponents by 8 per game, but Greensboro hammered them on the glass. They have to continue being terrors on the glass if they want to be successful. Some concerns, Mo Muhammad, I think we talked about the transfer from Bipsy. Only 3 points and 2 rebounds on average in his last 4 games. He has to be more active, especially more active on the glass behind Oliver Powell. Powell's playing pretty well, 11 points, 8 rebounds in his last 4 games. Like Nathan mentioned, Derek Jean played really well against Delaware, knocked down 4 out of 7 threes. We know what Derek Jean is. He's a glue guy,
yep.
Plays really hard defensively. Anthony DeRuzzi, Xavier Christian, Amari Archibald, they continue to lead this team. Terrific trio of sophomores, all averaging in double figures, all shooting 36% or better from three. Really good finds by Coach Cock. You know, talk about Archibald out of Florida, Christian out of Hot Springs, Arkansas, DeRuzzi out of Germantown, Maryland. So be fun to watch those guys, you know, over the next couple of weeks, especially before Tech gets into conference play. I know Conference USA is playing really well this year. North Texas, I saw, is 8-0 playing at Oklahoma tonight, so it'll be interesting to see how they fare. If you're looking to watch the Duncan Dogs, they'll be back home Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m., take on Houston Baptist. Beck will be in a deer stand. I will be at the game. They will also host Prairie View Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. If you have a chance to get out to the TAC, support Coach Eric Conkle and his team. We're going to go ahead and take our final timeout. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall is time to get out and do stuff. Great weather is perfect for heading into the woods, tailgating, or going on a camping trip. And it's better with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts. From an EasyGo multi-passenger cart for family fun to EasyGo utility carts for the tough stuff. Available in gas or electric, and Fairway has all you need to customize your EasyGo. See the entire EasyGo line today at Fairway Carts in Minden, just north of I-20 at exit 49. Call 800-960-CART.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We wrap it up. Hey, did you hear? Conference USA championship action this weekend. Middle Tennessee State hosts UAB.
I hope Middle Tennessee just beats the pants off UAB.
Oh, me too. I can't stand the Blazers. Middle Tennessee was a 27-3 winner in Murfreesboro this past weekend.
Which was
weekend. Surprising.
I feel a little shocked about that.
Well, Middle Tennessee, you know, Brent Stock still at quarterback, slinging it around the yard for his dad. Rumor is his dad's going to retire after this year. No better way for Brent to send his dad out, winning 10 games, conference championship, you know, potentially win 11 games. They can win a bowl game. So one of those teams, either Middle Tennessee or UAB, will win 10 games.
Which is crazy, Ben, because Conference USA kind of threw us for a loop this year.
It was. You know, you look
We thought it was going to be North Texas or Tech.
Yep.
And FAU.
Yeah, or Marshall, maybe.
Yeah, and it didn't happen.
FAU. Hey, get this.
Tell me.
FAU ain't even going to a bowl.
No way.
Lost to Charlotte.
No way.
5-7. Charlotte hits a 56-yard field goal with no time in regulation.
Hey, Kiffin should have sailed when he had the chance, dude.
Oh, Kiffin's pumped. He's at the beach.
That's true.
He's pumped. No, you're right, though. He should have got out of town. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know.
That is so telling. That is, I mean, talk about like a loss of money.
Yeah, we talk a lot about, you know, is Skip Holt stagnating the program? Well, Lane Kiffin, 11 wins to 5 wins.
Wow.
Yeah, rough year in Boca Raton for Lane Kiffin. Beck, looking elsewhere, I didn't tell you we were going to do this, but we're going to. Pac-12 championship, Friday night, Utah, Washington. Who you got?
I don't care.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I haven't watched either of those teams play.
Well, if you're not a West Coast, if you don't stay up and watch the Pac-12 after dark, give me Washington. They won the Snow Bowl against Washington State. You didn't watch that game either. I don't even know if you watch football, to be honest with you. Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship, Oklahoma against the Hook'em Horns. Do you not care about that one?
I do care about that one.
All right, who you want?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think the Sooners win that one. Did you happen to see the injury to Mackenzie Milton?
Okay, I didn't want to. And literally, okay, just so our Bleed Tech Blue faithful knows what's going on right here. I'm sitting in the deer stand Saturday morning.
Yeah. This was a Friday night.
This was Friday night. Okay, I was sitting in the deer stand Friday night.
Yeah.
And or at the camp, something. Ben texts the group and says, oh, my gosh, did you guys see the injury to this guy? I don't even remember who it was.
Mackenzie
and I said,
Milton.
No, and please don't send a picture. And then, boom, picture pops up. And I was like, Ben.
Dude, that was a rough injury.
I've had so many knee injuries in my life that I don't want to see that.
I feel
and you
for
just,
the kid.
You even like waited 5 minutes after I said don't send it, and then you sent it.
I feel for the kid.
It was bad.
It was. And I think I saw today that they've got some blood flow back in his leg.
Oh,
his
thank goodness.
His nerve is damaged, but it's intact. I really hope he made it. He was a fun player to watch. So, you know our friend Sutton says he's not good.
Well.
He said he just has heart. Like I didn't know that you could win 24 straight games with heart, but Sutton's an idiot, so. I still think Central Florida
Dude's
wins.
About to get married, okay? Yeah, just give him a break.
All right. Well, I think Central Florida beats Memphis. Alabama and Georgia.
You want to just go ahead and talk about LSU real quick? Or you know, you don't
yeah,
want to
we can
go
talk
there.
A little bit about
it. Let's just go there, Ben, because, man, I felt a little bit like Sean Fox the other day. I didn't get in quite the Twitter battle.
No, he talked about us on the show.
Did he? What did he say?
He said that, you know, the only people that don't think LSU got screwed are people that hate LSU.
So I don't have a good reason, I'll be straight up honest with you, of why I don't like LSU.
Me neither.
It's
really
the fans. I mean, you guys are obnoxious, and that's great. That's what fans are supposed to be.
Yeah.
Honestly, I grew up in Alaska, and we were fans of, like, the sun, you know?
And the snow.
And the, I mean, so I moved down here in the middle of high school, and everybody's just, I mean, if I'd have moved anywhere, I'd have hated that school. But you guys are, I mean, more power to you, I guess, but you're obnoxious, okay? And nothing's ever your fault. And so I just got a little bit of satisfaction watching that game the other night.
No, here's
and I just tweeted non-confrontationally, gig'em, gig'em, gig'em. And I started getting some, you know, my favorite thing. Here's my, I'm not going to name any names. I'm actually in a wedding with this dude that I got in a Twitter fight in like 2 weeks. So it's going to be a little awkward, but he writes back something about how, I like how, or no, he didn't even, he's subtweeting.
Yeah,
really,
subtweets.
It was a subtweet. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's like a tweet at somebody, but you're not saying it's at them. So he writes back and he writes and says, I can't imagine, can you imagine going to a lesser school and being happy when LSU loses? In some words, he said that. And I'm like, bruh, you just lost an epic game and you're going to take a shot at Tech fans just out of the blue. I mean, just out of the blue. You're right. Just going to.
I'll tell you one thing. My favorite. First
That's off, exactly why I hate LSU.
First off, that was one heck of a football game. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Second off, I think the funniest thing that you said to me about this game is that you read that all LSU fans were saying they got hosed, but you had no idea what they got hosed about.
Yeah, I had to ask
because
somebody.
Because you were pulling for A&M.
Yeah, I was
so
like,
much.
I said, you know, like that catch the tight end made and then he fumbled. I was like, oh, no, he didn't make a football move. But if I'm LSU, I'm like, what? He ran three steps.
You know? And I think like that, like whether you like LSU or hate LSU or like Tech or hate Tech or, you know, whoever you pull for, like, that's like the beauty of sports.
Oh, it's
like,
the best thing about sports. Like, you could watch a game and literally not have a clue what they got screwed on.
Yeah, but like, and like, I can't watch a game and not pull for a team. Like,
oh,
I can't
I know.
Just say like, man, I just want to enjoy some college football. Like, inside, like I'm
secretly
pulling.
I want somebody
pulling.
To cry.
Yeah.
Like every time. And so I'm just being honest. I really got no great reason or really, you know, even to back it up. Except that I love to see people cry and complain. And if I was living in Texas, I probably would have been going for LSU, vice versa. I just love to see some
funny.
Complaining and people get all riled up about something.
Oh, so fired up.
It's never, it's always something wrong. I mean, we do it with Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just the beauty of sports. So,
you think Alabama's going to beat Georgia?
I'm gonna give myself some props here because I think one of my best tweets in a while, besides gig'em, gig'em, gig'em. And my Twitter app is not. It's not
working.
It's
not
working, and I can't tell you the tweet.
Well,
but it was good.
Well,
Ben,
anyways,
can you pull it up?
Yeah, I will try to pull it up. But, hey, listen to this. So I don't know if you saw this, but I was scrolling through Twitter the other day, and this tweet went viral. And this girl tweeted that her sister always thought that Tua stands for the University of Alabama.
That is the best thing I've ever seen.
Hilarious. No way that's true.
Okay. So I'm a big Dumb and Dumber fan.
Yeah, well, you're
so I said, people talking about what's going on. I'm not joking. I was watching college football Saturday, Ben.
All right.
Pick your job off the ground.
Keep going.
And they were literally like spending a lot of time talking about what's going to happen in the college football playoffs if Georgia beats Alabama. So I tweeted, people talking about what's going to happen to college football playoff standings if Georgia beats Alabama next weekend. Georgia has a chance to beat Bama like Lloyd Christmas has a chance with Mary Swanson. One in a million. It ain't going to happen. Georgia's a great football team, but Tua and the University of Alabama are going to smoke them.
All right, good deal. I'm glad you broke this down to
so
your Twitter.
Go ahead and mortgage your house, put all your
people.
Christmas money
quit telling
on the Crimson Tide because it's going to happen. But I hope it's a good game just for the sheer entertainment. Basically, Ben, I'm hoping Tua plays in the fourth quarter. And I know it's coming. Oh, Bex, an Alabama fan. I appreciate some well-executed football because being a Tech fan this year, you haven't gotten much of that.
Absolutely. So I think Clemson beats Pittsburgh. I think Ohio State beats Northwestern as well. Anyways, good show tonight. Feel like we.
You got any closing thoughts, Ben? I feel like I haven't given you any time to talk.
No, I mean, you know, I've got plenty of talking in. You know, I got my piece in about Skip Holtz. I love my boy. I think he's doing a good job with the Tech program. This time next week, we'll know where the dogs are bowling. Hopefully, we'll have someone on from the opposing school. Maybe we can catch somebody from Hawaii on their lunch break.
Ben, if it's in Hawaii, are you going, bro?
Yeah, bro.
Hey, what?
Mortgage the house.
We got to get on that Davison plane.
Yeah, mortgage the house.
Yeah.
Bet the Christmas money.
Seriously, we got to go support
Call
the dogs.
Call up our boy, Robbie and Shawmet.
He might want to go.
Yeah, he might. But next week's show, we'll know where the dogs are bowling. Hopefully, we'll have somebody on from the opposing school. We'll talk some recruiting. Early signing period opens up December the 19th. Don't forget, join us, bleedtechblue.com. We're your number one source, La Tech Athletics. We appreciate you listening tonight. For Beck Haynes, for our producer, John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
Michael Jordan, he would flourish, though, in this,
oh,
in this
the,
NBA.
He'd be the best player
no doubt about it.
He was back then.
Hey, John in Oregon, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing great.
Excellent. So, you know, you're talking about guards, and Dumars and Thomas were the first names to come up. They were the first ones you mentioned right on point. I got to say, though, as a Blazers fan, I feel like point guards are maybe easier to come by. Maybe there's more volume of them right now. I wouldn't say they're better than those guys were back in the day, but it just seems like there's more of them. I can tell you, after Strickland and Stoudemire looking for a point guard for the Blazers, there was a stretch there where it was like,
right,
we're in the desert and they don't exist.
Now you got
like
two.
They're everywhere.
Now you got two.
No, you're right.
Well, you're right, and that's what we said, because
so many, like Rob says, somebody has to score. And nowadays, more often than not, it's not going to be the center. It's not going to be the power forward. A lot of teams, it's not even a front court player, like Washington with Beal and Wall. They don't have a guy on that front court that
I don't
can
even know who
score.
Who's the front court?
I mean, Dwight Howard when he's there.